First of all, tell me how this story started coming to you.
Okay, well, what happened was that in 1998, in my book, The FBI Files, I included a chapter on UFO reports filed with the FBI at the Oak Ridge installation in Tennessee. And in 2001, in the summer of 2001, I gave a lecture in Los Angeles at the local MUFON group, and there was a lady, actually wasn't in attendance at the lecture, but she knew I was doing the lecture and asked if we could meet for breakfast the next morning. And she actually worked at Oak Ridge in the late 1940s, and she told me that she'd read the book, and I assumed or presumed that she wanted to talk about the sightings that were in the book, that she knew some of the people involved or the cases, etc. But it actually turned out that she wanted to talk about something completely different, and that being the Roswell story. And she said, you know, that you're looking down the wrong path when you're looking for the answers to this particular case. And I asked her to expand on what she meant, and basically, eventually she opened up and said that she'd actually seen some of these bodies and seen photographs of others, and had seen three and knew of 15 that had been utilized in various experiments in the summer of 47. And she said that these were Japanese prisoners of war brought over, and people from this fairly diabolical Unit 731 research laboratories, and being used as basically guinea pigs in some of these experiments, and that the quote alien body angle was introduced as a cover to hide these human rights abuses, I guess, kind of similar to the human experiment radiation scandal that surfaced in the mid-1990s under the Clinton administration.
How bad were these bodies?
Well, you know, this is the thing. I mentioned about the Fugo balloons. At the same time that this was being undertaken, the Unit 731 project was doing all sorts of genuine atrocities, like exposing people to freezing temperatures and high temperatures and the effects of low and high pressures, and, you know, just to determine the effects on the bloodstream and the brain, literally amputating limbs and just reattaching them to someone else to see what effect it would have, you know, kind of...
Sounds like Joseph Mengele, that kind of thing.
That's exactly what it was like. They were doing experiments on twins and handicapped people. And the story I got was that at least some of these people were brought back to the States because, right or wrong, they wanted to see what effect these experiments had had on these people. This also included injection of plagues in Japan by Unit 731, and, you know, just exposing people to bacteriological warfare, that sort of thing. And the story expanded that when the Fugo balloon raids were occurring in the late stages of the Second World War, had the war continued, the Fugo people were working with the Unit 731 people, where they would have these bigger balloons, where they would have a gondola below them with a crew of Japanese personnel who would be responsible for flying towards the United States. And then when they reached the mainland, they would disperse bacteriological warfare via this aerosols attached underneath this gondola.
So that was a real plan.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can actually go to newspaper archives. I've got quite a few copies of these, and they're particularly mentioned in the Seattle newspapers of the time, because Seattle was an area that a number of these balloons had come down in, which actually talk about how America had learned that Japan was planning something, quote, the more ominous, where they would be launching far more advanced balloons with these gondolas below them. And what's particularly interesting is that because weight and size and were a premium in terms of this flight across the Pacific, they actually trained four, quite literally, little men about 5 feet tall to...
And they knew it was a suicide mission, right?
Yeah, there's no way back for these guys.
Yeah.
The plan was that with the Fugo balloons with the bombs, you know, they just landed haphazardly. The plan was to actually have people on board that could unleash these, you know, bioweapons and plagues, etc., over the United States. But what was intriguing is that I was able to verify that in the summer of 45, there were these plans for these huge balloon arrays with these futuristic gondolas below them that would be piloted by a crew of small guys specifically trained for the job, which was the beginnings, if you like, of what happened at Roswell. Now, in 1945, when the war ended, it's a verifiable fact that a whole range of Nazi and German scientists were brought over under the cover of something called Operation Paperclip to work on rocket programs like the V-2. People like Wernher von Braun.
Von Braun and his group,
Strughold and people like that. What's less well known, and a lot of the documents actually don't exist anymore, but it's still a verifiable fact, is that similar deals were done with Japanese personnel. Unfortunately, some of the people from Unit 731 and a lot of the aviation experts who were working on the Fugo balloons and some far more advanced projects as well, which come into play in this story. And basically, one of the plans that the Japanese had was to try and take things a step further. Obviously, with these huge balloons with a gondola below them, you know, the guys were just limited by where the balloons would take them.
Sure.
But the other plan they had was to construct this huge balloon array below which would be affixed a large flying wing type aircraft that was inspired by the Horton brothers aircraft of the Second World War, sort of very, very advanced aircraft, kind of similar to the, in many ways, to the stealth bomber of today, sort of very swept-back flying wing devices. And the plan was to fly these huge balloon systems very, very high over the Pacific, and then for the crew to be able to detach these flying wings and then hopefully, you know, fly to a location where they would then unleash bacteriological warfare. And the plan, the prime reason for flying them by balloon was to get them really high and hopefully evade the, you know, the early fledgling radar that existed at the time.
Well, I can believe that that kind of warfare, that kind of terrorism was in the works.
Sure.
You know, one would have to assume that they wanted to do something on the mainland here, and they were figuring out how to do it, how to get here.
Yeah, and the story I got from the various interviewees, which range from people from Oak Ridge to Defense Intelligence Agency guys and a couple of guys who worked in psychological warfare branches of the military in the 50s, was that when Japan was taken after the surrender in August 45, what happened was that the plans and blueprints and actually the scientific personnel and even the crew on the first planned flight of one of these aircraft actually all transferred over to the States in a similar fashion to Paperclip. And a test was actually made of this device in the New Mexico desert from the White Sands missile range, and it was quite literally, you know, it was a project that catastrophically went wrong. It was kind of seen as unwieldy and almost fated to fail from the beginning because it was so bizarre. The idea of trying to get this balloon and this Horton-inspired glider below it into the air